I'm a government relations consultant with the Consumer Healthcare Products Association.
Lobbyist for them, huh?
Some people would call us that, Bob.
All right. All right. You heard Jason Grellner talking about this issue and what his position is. I gather you folks are the ones who say that we shouldn't be doing the prescription work. Is that right?
We are. And again, the Consumer Healthcare Products Association represents the over-the-counter drug industry, and one of those over-the-counter drugs, although in all states it's actually behind the counter, but not subject to prescription, is pseudoephedrine. And I think what caught my eye is the article said that this 78,000 boxes in October was somehow a high number. And again, you have to understand that this is a product which essentially you have to get month by month. And to think that there are 80 or 100 or 125,000 people with allergies in Missouri out of 5.7 million people, that's not a high number. The number that we have always used, Bob, is we have said we thought the total sales in Missouri were about $12 million a year. And I think the numbers that you saw are consistent with that. And when we have used the $12 million figure, Detective Grellner in public hearings has accused us of understating how much we're selling. Well, we knew how much we were selling. So to say that number of boxes is incredible, frankly, he's always argued that we were understating what we were selling, that we were selling a whole lot more than that. And frankly, because we're the trade industry, we knew how much we were selling, approximately. And so I just thought the article was misleading, and particularly to say that number of boxes is astounding. Again, it's pretty much it's sold in a month's supply. And consumers who use the product frequently have to go back every month and get it again.
The $12 million that you cited, is yes. About how many boxes would that work out to be?
It depends. The price per box varies. But, again, essentially this is a controlled product, but it's not an expensive product. And it's probably somewhere in the 1.2 to 1.5 million boxes.
A year?
Yes.
Okay. Now, his contention is, and the contention from the people on his side is, that we did not have a meth problem until the FDA lifted the prescription requirement in 1976. And since then, people have had access to these materials, and that has, in effect, been the fuel for meth manufacturing. Does the industry disagree with that position?
Well, we would agree that in order to make methamphetamine, you need pseudoephedrine. I mean, we know that. We sell the idea that, people are willy-nilly coming here. In states where there is no meth problem, on a per capita basis, we sell essentially the same number of boxes of pseudoephedrine as we do here. And so I think the big thing is that are you going to go to the expense of having the consumer have to go get a prescription every time that they want to get a box of this this over-the-counter drug? And in fact, the proposals generally are that you have to have a prescription every time, because some people would argue, well, I can get a prescription for many drugs for 90 days. Well, speaking on their side, that would probably defeat what they want. And so you're talking about the enormous inconvenience and cost of going to get a prescription every time that you want a box of pseudoephedrine.
Well, now, when I have my prescriptions filled at my local drugstore, my prescriptions are written for a year ahead. So I don't have to have a prescription every month. So,
if your argument is here, you want to control the people who are buying this to use it with methamphetamine, I think the law enforcement would say you would not want to give them a prescription for a year or 90 days, because then you can actually, by getting a prescription, be able to purchase in a single transaction much more than you can purchase right now.
But at the same time, would not a prescription by a legitimate doctor limit the amount that a legitimate patient who uses this could get? on a monthly basis. It's not like somebody who says, I'm going to make meth, goes to a doctor and gets a doctor to write out a 12-month prescription, goes out and gets 12 months of stuff all at once.
Why would they not? Why would they not?
I don't know. My drugstore doesn't work that way.
Well, I mean, if the only deterrent is to getting this drug is to get a prescription, and particularly if you could get it for 12 months, I think the people that arguably are buying it right now to use it in the manufacture of methamphetamine would take that step.
So wouldn't the idea be to change prescription laws to require no refilling of prescriptions for more than 90 days at a time? Or something like that, and still require prescriptions?
Or arguably a shorter period, but there, you know, again, there's a cost then. I mean, this is something the great, great majority of people who use these products are people, they're law-abiding citizens who simply have allergies or other symptoms. And so you're going to have to make them go to the cost of getting a prescription for this.
Does the industry, does your organization, Jim, have any thoughts about what the proper way is to cut off the supply of pseudoephedrines to people who make methamphetamine? Do you have an alternative for cutting off the supply?
Well, we believe that what needs to happen is for this tracking system, which we are helping to fund, to work. Because it will require that you can only buy within the legal limits, okay, which is a very low limit per month. And then the other thing, we want to work with law enforcement to use the tracking system to identify people who are trying to purchase more. And, you know, if they're selling to meth cooks, you know, we think they ought to, we need to find the meth cooks and stop them.
Do you folks think that the use of this database should be able to lead law enforcement officers to the people who are buying excessively and taking it home and cooking up stuff in the basement?
Well, again, someone who is buying excessively before the database is going to get stopped. It is a stop at the point of sale system, and so they're going to get stopped. However, people that are going to multiple places trying to purchase and then being stopped will be identified. And, yes, law enforcement can identify those people.
Okay, so this is a tracking system, not just a recording system that you folks are paying for.
It is a stop sale system.
Yeah. How much is it costing your association, Jim?
For the tracking system?
Yeah.
I don't have an exact number, but it's a significant amount.
Yeah, I remember when you folks came in and testified in favor of the bill that set it up. But I don't remember any numbers being mentioned.
It is a significant amount.
Mm-hmm. And
but it's something that we thought, you know, this is a problem that we're sensitive to. Frankly, you know, we don't want to be helping the meth cooks have product for, you know, their cooking. And we thought this was the sensible way to safeguard public safety without inconveniencing the law-abiding citizen out there who simply has allergies.
We have about 1,000 or so pharmacies in the state of Missouri, whether it's the corner drugstore or whether it's an in-the-hospital pharmacy or a private company working for a private company. Once all of them are involved in this database, and only about half are now, I understand, what number would you expect to be the number of boxes, if you will, that you'd see every year?
We haven't really come up with any number there.
Okay.
The one thing that we would know is that all purchases would be made within the legal limits.
So you can't...
If Bob Priddy tries to go to three different locations and buy in a 30-day period, after the first one, you're going to be stopped at location two and location three. And you're not going to be able to buy the second or third box that you may have been trying to buy. And you're also going to be identified as trying to make multiple purchases.
And law enforcement has instant access to that information, too, don't they?
They do. They do. I mean, the fact that some of the statistics that Detective Grellner was using came directly out of the system.
Okay. I guess the thing that you folks would advocate is to at least give the system a year to operate, just to get a snapshot or get a picture of where things are right now before we take any further steps.
Yes. You know, and absolutely, you know, one of the tools, you know, it was pointed out that, you know, this pharmacy in Cape Girardeau had sold the most boxes of anyone in the state. And I think it's legitimate for law enforcement to ask, why did that happen? Is there a reasonable, you know, reason that it happened? And again, that one outlier is being used to characterize everybody in the state. And true, it is true. That is the number one seller in the state that we know thus far. But it is, from our perspective, an outlier.
How do you folks stand on local ordinances? I mean, we're getting more and more towns that seem to be going in this direction. Are you guys having to go around and fight little brush fires all over the place?
Yes, we are. The way the state is set up, local governments can pass local ordinances. And what we're trying to do is educate those cities because, you know, what happens, and I think that Detective Grellner references it in Southeast Missouri, is people, you know, again, for the average law-abiding citizen, you know, if I can't buy it in Jackson or some other southeastern Missouri town, I'm simply going to go over to the next town where I can legally buy it and buy it.
Anything else that we haven't touched on?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah. You know, I think you probably hit the thing, Bob, is that from our perspective, I mean, this tracking system is just starting to come up. And, you know, we are putting a lot of money into that solution, and we think that it ought to have an opportunity to work. And some people in the law enforcement community, we understand that they would prefer prescriptions, but again, we think the tracking system is a better way to work. But again, I want to make sure that the one point I was really trying to talk to you about was that what we've seen thus far in terms of the number of the sales does not surprise us, because we are the industry and we know what the sales are.
You would know this better than I would. Are there cold medications that can do the same thing without pseudoephedrine?
I do not take any pseudoephedrine products, although I have allergies. I take some different products. However, I've talked to people who have allergies, and they say the one that is closest simply is not as effective as the pseudoephedrine product.